This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
The share it with a friend deal. Even if that friend is yourself. Your McDonald's, your rules.
Live your best morning with BOGO breakfast sandwiches only on the McDonald's app. Now buy one bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles or sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and get a second one free. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid one per day. Excludes $1, $2, $3 menu. Visit McDonald's app for details. Download and registration required.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
So I used the savings from switching to Progressive 30 years ago to buy tickets to the championship game. You know, between those two teams that didn't exist 30 years ago. Yeah, I'm a big Alaska Palm Trees fan. Which is a team now? In the future?
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome back to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is a very special guest. He's been on the show several times, Benjamin Bloom. Ben has a wonderful show on YouTube. I would highly recommend watching. I watch all of his videos. Ben does a great job on the championship. In fact, Ben, I will say this before I go right to you, is that I get a lot of my information on the championship directly from you. I watched the last episode about the transfer window, which is interesting because Fulham's nowhere near in it. And we'll talk about potentially why there are no signings on Fulham. But you do a great job, my friend. So I want to just go to you right off the bat and just thank you for joining me. And we're going to talk about Fulham. But talk a little bit about your show on YouTube if people aren't already familiar with it.
Well, we should just have a little laugh about the fact that we're speaking, Russ, means that Fulham have been relegated again, haven't they? And
yes.
I'm back on your show. And... I don't know. You probably get sick and tired of hearing this, you know. Oh, we're quite pleased to have Fulham back. We're going down to Putney. Hopefully we get them away in August, building the new stand. But
yep.
No, lovely club. Obviously, you don't want to be in the Championship. You want to be in the Premier League. But yeah, just quickly, and I'm wearing my own T-shirt here, which is terrible, isn't it? The Benjamin Bloom Football Channel on YouTube, covering all things Championship through the season.
Yeah. And if you haven't watched it before, please do check it out. Ben does a wonderful job. And I will, dare I say, I think he does the best job of covering the Championship. I listen to a bunch of podcasts, but Ben does a great job. And I would highly recommend watching his show and subscribing to his YouTube channel. Highly recommend it. Okay. Ben, I mentioned this to you off air. And again, this really isn't Fulham related, but I definitely want to get your thoughts on this because this actually hit me hard locally. I want to get your thoughts on the passing of Paul Mariner. Again, this is a person here that is revered tremendously. He was a former assistant coach for the Revolution. He also was a presenter, a commentator over here, but he had a wonderful career in England and played for Ipswich, Ipswich Town, a club that is dear to your heart. Let's just a few seconds on Paul Mariner and his impact.
Yeah, and the strange irony won't escape anybody. Obviously, you can see the Ipswich scarf on my office wall there. Yep. What you probably can't see, but if you zoom in on YouTube, is that there is a shoot cover from 1983, which I was given by, if I can give him a little prug, Retro Framers, you can find on on Twitter, with Paul Mariner on the front about a month before he died. Look, absolute legend at Ipswich. Obviously, it's funny with my club Ipswich because in our history, we've had one team that feels like it was just light years ahead of any other team that we ever had. So when people are doing top 10s or picking their greatest 11, the Paul Mariner team just dominates. Obviously, they won the title in the early 60s under Sir Ralph Ramsey. But this is the one with Mariner and Gates and Brazil, Tyson Muir and Beattie, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Just players that we've never had anything. No offense to anyone who's played for Ipswich since. We've had some great players. But obviously, Paul Mariner and I dare say a certain hulking Serbian striker that Fulham fans are probably quite fond of would probably admit to modelling his game on players like Paul Mariner, you know, because he could do anything. Look, I never saw him play. I saw him manage Plymouth at Ipswich. That's right. And that's right. Just a measure of the man. There was a lady who was too cold. He gave her his coat in the stand and lost his reading glasses when he came back. And Plymouth actually beat Ipswich. All I will say is I can't speak as well as my friend David Diamond, who is on the Blue Monday podcast with me. So if I just plug, if you just check the Blue Monday feed, David talks for a long time and can eulogise about a player that would be worth 80 to 100 million pounds nowadays and just, you know, just absolutely beloved.
Okay, great. And again, I just wanted to just to mention, I know this is a Fulham show, but his impact hit me when I heard the news that he had passed, and I just thought I would just mention it. And the connection to Ipswich Town, since you were on, I definitely just want to get your thoughts on it. So thank you about that, Ben. All right, before we get in talking about Fulham, there is something that I want to talk about, and this is something that actually frustrates me a little bit, and I mentioned this to you, Ben. There are four podcasts doing Fulham right now, and they all are excellent. In fact, Cottage Talk next month is coming up on 10 years, which is unbelievable. We'll have a 10-year anniversary show next month. But all four Fulham podcasts are different. They all are great in their own way. And I just saw some back and forth on this, and I'm actually sharing all of the Twitter accounts. I would highly recommend listening to all these podcasts. I do. And part of the reason that I continue to do Cottage Talk and listen to these shows is partially because the media coverage of Fulham sucks and blows. It's terrible. So I started along with Kyle Bond doing Cottage Talk, and there was another podcast at that time as well, and it's grown. It's now four strong, and they're all different. And the Fulhamish Pod with Sammy and his crew is great. Fulham Focus with Danny, excellent, fantastic. I know he doesn't host, but his crew is great. The Friends of Fulham, which is the Fofcast, with my friend, my good friend, Scott Tanfield, my good friend, Mike Gregg, both do Cottage Talk. Owen Smith actually has been on Cottage Talk, and Jerry Pym. They all do excellent shows. They're all different in their own way. So you might have your favorite, but I would highly recommend listening to all of these podcasts. I just wanted just to mention that to
everyone. Can I just chime in on that, Russ?
Go ahead.
This is not unique to Fulham, by the way.
Okay.
I can speak chapter and verse about look, we're on the cusp of a lot of new things in life. Obviously, we're about 25, 30 years into the internet now, and people still don't quite know how to communicate in a socially adequate way on it. And we're probably, like you say, 10 or so years into podcasts, and it's still feeling its way somewhat. And yes, everyone now has less of a barrier to entry, and everybody has communication in between. And Sadly, from what you're saying, in a lot of the football spaces, it seems like people aren't quite fit to cope with this ability to communicate and the low barrier to entry now. And it's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
It is. It is. And what's crazy about this, because I get asked this all the time, comparing the podcasts, and I just say this, don't you realize that I listen to all of them because I want the content? And they're all different. You know, there is no show out of the four that's similar. They're all different in their way. And the good part of it, I saw someone tweet this, Ben, and as we talk about the championship, you can get your thoughts on Fulham. It's all by Fulham supporters who care about the club. And that's why you're getting their view and all different types of views. You're getting a real, I want to say, a no-holds-barred view on the Fofcast. You know, again, they don't hold back. Sammy's podcast with Fulhamish Pod, the Fulhamish podcast is fantastic the way they do. And then, of course, the guys at Fulham Focus, you know, really do an excellent job as well. And they're all different, but they're all needed, Ben. Like you said, we're still early on, if you want to look at it in podcasts, but they're all needed because I am missing content on Fulham. Partially, I wanted to do this show with you because I want content on Fulham.
And as ever in these things, the cream will rise, won't it? And the people will download and listen to what they want. Unfortunately, people get a little bit competitive and sometimes a little bit confrontational, don't they? And let's be honest, a lot of the people who are hosting podcasts now, you, me, we're not media trained. Do you know what I mean? We're just fans, and sadly, some people fall into that bracket of not quite being able to keep things calm and understand that they have a brand, and you want to be doing a podcast next year and the year after and the year after. Don't wind everybody up. Is the answer.
Totally agree, Ben. Totally agree. Well, thank you for your thoughts on that. But let's now focus, as the show will now turn to just strictly about Fulham. And Ben, you and I were talking about this. You mentioned this early on. It's like, well, you wouldn't be on the show if Fulham didn't get relegated again. So actually, I'm gonna take that off for just a second. But I just want to get your thoughts, Ben, just in general, on why you think Fulham got relegated again. And I know you followed them last season. So just your overall thoughts on Fulham's return to the championship and why.
So probably three or four things compounding, as with all relegated teams. It's never one thing, is it? So the first thing I would look at is the lineage from Championship to Premier League. And the continuity not being strong enough between, because let's be honest, the Championship team was pretty much bombed out by about, you'd know better than me, 10 games in. And, you know, it was Rodak, Hector, Ream, Brian, Odoi. Even if you told me Kenny and Mitrovic would not be in the Fulham team, I would be so surprised. Now, obviously, if there's a Fulham fan listening, thinking, well, okay, Ben, those players weren't good enough. Fine, but you know you're going to suffer from the lack of continuity through. And the teams that tend to do best migrating Championship to Premier League tend to tweak rather than completely tear it up, don't they? And yes, Lookman, very good. Anderson, very good. Areola, very good. Loftus-Cheek, potentially very good. You know, all looks good on paper, all on loan. So I think the lack of continuity was a big thing. And then probably the thing that Fulham fans were often asking me during the Championship season, saying, oh, okay, we're at the top of the league and we're competitive, but I feel there's another gear, there's another speed to this football. A few more chances could be created. And I think that parlayed then into the Premier League. And
I totally agree.
I know it's on your agenda, Russ. you need the lineage through from owner, director of football, manager, team. So although, you know, most fans love going to Fulham, like the club, et cetera, a few things not quite joining up. Last reason, Sean Dyche, Steve Bruce, Graham Potter. They know how to get to 36 to 39 points, don't they? They don't care about playing three holding midfielders in a game away at West Brom or something. They get to 39 points, don't they? And yes. So I think those things sort of all compounded. Is that kind of where you're at?
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're going to head here, Ben, because when I'm looking at it, you know, we'll talk about Scott Parker in just a few minutes and Marco Silva. We'll talk about the head coaches of Fulham. You know, again, one has departed and one has now come. But the crux of it, and this is what I really wanted to focus on now, is we talk about Fulham being relegated and the management structure has something to do with that. But again, let's just talk about this because, again, Tony Khan himself said, has said, you know, he'd be fine, you know, maybe a year or two ago, talk about being a yo-yo club. Well, Fulham are a yo-yo club. So we have to ask ourselves, why are they a yo-yo club? You talked about the team in the championship. Well, when we talk about later on in the show, we're going to talk about the players because, again, I think that on paper, Fulham have a team that can actually win the championship. But the bigger question for me will be, yes, they can win the championship, but what happens if they get promoted again and they continue this yo-yo situation that they have? Are there enough players in this team Premier League quality? And we'll talk about that in a bit because I'm going to ask you the level of a lot of these players. I thought that would be kind of fun. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But Fulham are a yo-yo club, Ben. You and I were just talking about that. So let's just focus here because I think this is real, really a part of it. The management structure of Fulham, and I think this is, you know, again, fans talk about this all the time, Ben. We got to talk about Tony Khan, the owner. The owner has put in a lot of money into Fulham Football Club. He absolutely has. And it took me a little bit to really focus on the role of Tony here. Tony's the director of football, and it's difficult now when I really look at it. He has a full-time job as a promoter for AEW. He's also involved with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he's also the director of football, which is a full-time job. You know, and again, this episode isn't really supposed to be about slamming Tony Khan, but we should be looking at the structure of Fulham because I think this is a huge factor in why they're a yo-yo club, Ben. Your thoughts?
Oh, God. So much to say. Let me deal with the yo-yo thing first. And the first problem with the yo-yo thing is not actually a Fulham problem. It's a distribution of wealth in English football problem. Okay. It's the fact that it's rewarding to be a yo-yo club. And followers of mine, and I can see a few in the chat there, are probably sick to death of me mentioning the dreaded parachute payments. But unfortunately, we have a system where we have some tiers. We have Champions League money. Amazing. Brilliantly. Get it if you can. Premier League money. Incredible. If you're getting that Premier League money, you are in the elite in world football. And then we have the parachute money, which is paid to a relegated team. And then we have everybody else. And that's where the cliff edge. So unfortunately, at the moment, English football, the cliff edge is just underneath where the yo-yo teams, and let's name names, and all great clubs, West Brom, Norwich, Fulham, Hull in previous years, they're above the waterline. So if I'm the owner of those clubs, rule number one, I am in the haves and not the haves-nots. As long as I've got, even if it's Premier League money for 1 year and parachute money for 2 years and Premier League money for 1 year and parachute money for 2 years, I'm in the haves. That's okay compared to everybody else who gets 7 million quid TV money and 13 million losses on the FFP as opposed to 45, which, and again, I'm not taking a shot at Fulham or Sheffield United or West Brom. That is the system. And you then have the likes of Norwich going up and basically saying, okay, let's do this in a 3-year cycle. We're not going to spend any money in the Premier League. We're going to finish bottom and we're going to then reinvest. And then when we come back, we might spend a bit of money, but if we go down, we're still in the haves. and then maybe on the third promotion. So at the moment, the system rewards, it's okay to be a yo-yo club. From a financial point of view, from a fan's point of view,
it's not.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible, isn't it?
No.
Because you're getting, you don't know. And honestly, I feel sorry for the fans of these clubs per se, because they don't know what they're watching. They're overly smug in the Championship, and then we've got no money in the Premier League, and kind of don't really know what it is that they support. So that would be the my suggestion in terms of the actual yo-yo club. That put it this way: would you rather be Fulham than Derby or Forest or Sheffield Wednesday or my club Ipswich, who spent years trying to compete and then, in the end, slow death? Now, on the second point, Russ, I am fascinated by this, because I used to watch wrestling when I was when I was young. I used to watch wrestling in the late 90s when everybody used to watch wrestling. And I still tune into a few wrestling podcasts, because I find the whole, it's quite fun and interesting.
Yeah, of course.
And Fulham get mentioned on wrestling podcasts all the time.
Yeah.
And these wrestling commentators are asking, what do these Fulham fans think of this guy appearing on a wrestling TV show in America when he's supposed to be the director of football? I mean, you said it's a full-time job. By the way, in football, a full-time job is not 40 hours a week. It's 80 hours a week, isn't
it? That's right, Ben. Of course.
So I just spin the question on you, because the when you see Jamie Carragher going on TV calling him a clown for arguing with fans on Twitter, and you know, don't get me wrong, if he's been given a script and playing he's acting on the wrestling show, fine, whatever, but he's not being a director of football when he's doing that, is he?
Right.
And there's a bit of a sense that, people are suspicious of him, and at worst, laughing at him, I think. What's your view from the inside?
Well, what's interesting about this, and I will say this, I believe Tony believes he could do all three jobs equally. And I do, and again, there are fans that think that he doesn't care about Fulham Football Club. I disagree with that. I just think that you need someone in charge that is specifically just concentrating on Fulham Football Club. Someone that could actually be at Craven Cottage, at Motspur Park all the time, working with the head coach and now being Marco Silva. So when you have someone that's this far away that believes that he can do it all, and I truly believe he believes that, I think that I think it's too much for one person to do, and I think that he should pass on his duties to someone else. That's doesn't sound like it's going to be the case. And I got to be honest with you, I think he should just become the next Vince McMahon, because
did the wrestling.
Just be Vince McMahon. He wants to. It's obvious to me that he likes that role. Be Vince McMahon. It's okay to be Vince McMahon, the promoter. He's good at that. But hand off to someone that can actually be concentrating solely on Fulham. That's where I stand on that. And again, I was willing to give him time to see if he could really work this out. But honestly, you have these relegations. At some point, you have to say it's time to move on. So I'm there now with it. If he kept Fulham in the league, if Fulham stayed in the Premier League, I would have said, okay, stick with Tony. But he failed. The team failed. So change is needed. But they're not going in that direction. They're going in the direction that they brought in Silva. We'll talk about him in a bit. I just don't think they went far enough. And I think ultimately, when we talk about Fulham being a yo-yo club, Ben, this to me, the management structure of Fulham with Tony as director of football is going to hinder that. And I hate to say that. And again, this is not personal against Tony. I just think that it's just asking too much of someone to do three full-time jobs altogether. And like you said, it's not a 40-hour work week. It's an 80-hour work week.
100%, yeah. And you know what football fans expect. And if I can bring it back to my club, Ipswich, who've just had a very unsuccessful owner who wasn't there every day of the week and who did run a company, but then didn't delegate things down to, I would say, underlings. But, you know, if it's okay to, you know, delegate things down. And, right. and then of course, you hear this idea, is Fulham a vehicle to have NFL in London and, right. you know, all of these other interests? And look, we understand that very rich people have their fingers in lots of pies and often to very successful effect. You would know way better than I about that because you know so much about American sport, where
right.
the same guy will own franchises in three or four different sports, plus a TV network, plus a newspaper, plus
sure.
All of that stuff. But English football is a little bit different, isn't it? It's come from right. the idea of, you know, the butcher's son or whatever at Manchester United going on and owning the club and, like you say, virtually living there. So
right, exactly.
It's certainly something that's grown legs with Tony Khan. And, you know, whether it's good, bad or indifferent, it is the only club that's regularly mentioned to people who are watching wrestling on the TV in America.
It's crazy, you know. And again, you know, it's funny because I mentioned this on a prior show, Ben. I have SiriusXM Radio, and also on my TV, they've been promoting AEW's event in New York City. Tony's all over my TV. He's all over my radio. And it has nothing to do with Fulham. It has to do with AEW. And I'm thinking, concentrate on that, Tony. Concentrate on that. And to your point, Ben, you're talking about American owners buying multiple sports teams. That's common. I'll even use Liverpool as an example. John Henry doesn't make the decisions ultimately, yes, he owns Liverpool, but he has a team in Liverpool running Liverpool. So again, why doesn't Fulham have a similar structure where you can own the team, but you pass it on to people that actually are concentrating solely on your team? And Tony feels that he can do all three. And I don't know. It hasn't worked out. It hasn't worked out. And I wish that he would just concentrate on AEW. But, you know, it is what it is. And I think, you know, again, I think it's a factor in why Fulham are a yo-yo club, going back to that. But you brought up a good point about the money. I think there's something else going on with Fulham there, Ben.
In what respect?
Meaning that the fact that you have Tony in charge of basically shopping for the groceries, as we would say over here, picking the players. And, you know, he is, you know, again, concentrating on two other ventures, and it's difficult to get all three done at the same time.
And the ridiculous thing, Russ, is we're talking about a family that's worth literally billions. That should be the biggest asset you can possibly have in football, isn't it? You know, independent wealth to bail you out of any situation. But
yeah.
like you suggested, if it's I was going to say third or fourth, it doesn't even matter. If it's not first on your priority to-do list, then you know how competitive English football is.
Exactly.
You'll get chewed up and spat out by somebody who has got it first on their priority list.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, let's move on and let's now talk about the situation at head coach, because again, I first want to go and get your thoughts on the departure of Scott Parker. And what's interesting is I'm going to go back two seasons with you, Ben. I remember having you on after the Blackburn match, and you were there at Craven Cottage. And I think you, like myself, were expecting to see something similar from what we saw under Slavisa Jokanović. We did not see that for that entire season. In fact, we started to see something that got phrased Parker ball. So I want to get your thoughts because, again, I was ready to move on from Scott Parker, partially because I wanted to see a more entertaining brand of football. And I also wanted to see someone that was more proactive instead of reactive. And Parker could end up being a very good manager at Bournemouth and further along in his career. But I was ready to move on from him. I'm curious your thoughts about Parker's time at Fulham and him moving to Bournemouth.
Yeah, so probably the worst possible thing for Scott Parker in terms of Parker ball, because that's obviously a slight backhanded dig that he was managing in the league at the same time as Marcelo Bielsa was doing the same thing at three times the speed.
That's right.
Leeds United. Look, it's very, very binary with year one parachute teams. If you go up, you've had a good season. If you don't, you've had a bad season. Even if you lose in the playoff final or what have you, you should, if you're competent and you can manage the descent, you know, into the division and not have too much chaos in terms of your recruitment, you should be up the top end of the table. And I remember adding it up, actually, Russ. I think I saw Fulham 8 or 10 times in the flesh that season. And I think Mitrovic scored either 8 or 10 goals in... No, seriously.
I remember.
Scored in... Every time I went to watch Fulham, he scored. And I remember a game at Derby where you weren't in the game and you just scored, you know. And I saw a few games at the Cottage. And then I suppose COVID and all of that business. And I maintain in that season that Leeds were very good. And everything else was a bit much of a muchness. West Brom had Bilic, who was, you know, on it. Brentford weren't quite, you know, at their climax. And Fulham had Mitrovic. And I know essentially they, you know, finished the playoffs without him actually starting. But, it was very much a sense of, well, he got there, so it must be a good season. Let's see what happens next. And another relegation has come. Look, obviously he's very handsome. He's very young. He used to play for England. He speaks very well. He does an emotional interview after the game against Wembley. He's friends with all of those guys in the media played for England with Scott Parker. So the perception of him is that he's great.
He got a free pass from the media, Ben. He got a free pass.
I think so. And then, of course, at the start of the season, Tony Khan took, we'll use a good wrestling term here, took all the heat. For Scott Parker. And
that's a good
point. The blame went in that way. And I suspect he probably still is. Look, I never want to be one of these people who is saying after one or two seasons of, so what is it with Parker? Two full seasons of management. No, he's not Marcelo Bielsa. No, he can't immediately get that pattern of play going within a couple of months. But I think there's potentially a good manager there, a good communicator there. Is he going to take Bournemouth up? We'll see. I think a lot of Fulham fans would hold their hands up if at the end of this season Bournemouth are in the automatic spots and say, okay, the guy's done well there. And I think a lot of Fulham fans, if Bournemouth are 10th, are going to be going, ah, I told you, aren't they? So I think we're going to, without giving you a politician's answer, we're going to find out a lot in a year two parachute team
with Bournemouth
that's probably going to have to sell Dan Juma and Billing and possibly Brooks at some point. He's not going to be bringing in Cavaliero, Knockhart, and having Kearney, Mitrovic, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be a little bit of a more austerity post-COVID type recruitment at Bournemouth.
Okay, excellent stuff there, Ben. And it'll be interesting to watch, and we'll be watching the entire season. It's going to be a comparison between Fulham and Bournemouth all the way through. So we'll see. You know, it's a good point. We should have I guess you could say a winner by the end of the year. Who won? Fulham or Parker? You know,
we'll certainly know more. And just to make a comparison, Russ, and I was giving Norwich fans this comparison all last season. Yep. Bournemouth went down in a not good financial state and sold Wilson, Ramsdale, and Ake immediately.
Yep.
And I've spoken with Norwich fans about this. That would have been the equivalent of them selling Pukki, Buendia, and Aarons at the start of the season. Norwich, of course, would not have won the league and probably not have got promoted.
That's right.
Had they sold those players. Fulham were not in that position when Scott Parker was there. He had Kearney, he had Mitrovic,
yeah.
You know, and then Knockaert and Cavaliero, okay, he didn't get the best out of them, but were both promoted players before. So this is a harder job that Scott Parker has got now, Bournemouth 21-22, than Fulham 19-20 with Mitrovic.
Totally agree. He's got, you know, and again, based on what I've been reading and listening, you know, he likes the situation that he's going into. So, like I said, best of luck to him. But you just brought up a good point. He might not have the same types of players that he had two seasons prior. And it'll be interesting to see how things work out. But let's move on. Let's talk about the new Fulham head coach, Marco Silva. And you and I were talking about off air that, you know, again, I've had a chance to really dive into Silva and his style of play. And, you know, and again, a lot of Fulham supporters are happy that we're going back to a more expansive style of play. So not the same as Slavisa, but a more entertaining style. And, you know, it should be fun for Fulham supporters. Is he the right fit? Only time will tell. But, you know, it's funny. When I look at it, Ben, one of the things that I noticed is that some of his teams have started off pretty good. Fulham seasons, I was trying to think about it. Has there been, in the time I've watched Fulham since 2007, have they gotten off to a good start? I can't remember one.
When John Tigana was the manager, they virtually won the league by September, hadn't they?
Exactly. Could this be a situation where we're going back to that? Oh, I certainly hope so. But listen, I'm encouraged so far what I've been reading and listening to, and also I had a good conversation with Richard Buxton, who covered him at Everton. I'm starting to feel pretty good about the appointment of Silva. But again, you know, if you look at his record, he's been at several teams now, and he's moved on to several teams. So what are your thoughts? I actually watched your video. I would highly recommend Fulham supporters watching Ben's video as he talks about Silva. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I wouldn't profess to have the knowledge that you've probably got since you've done the extra research, and that Richard Buxton, who had him at Everton for a year and a half, had. From what I can tell, the guy is obviously charismatic, obviously interviews very well. He was very well loved at Hull, but ultimately they were relegated, which is a very binary way to look at it. I think he came in halfway through a season and then they came close to surviving but didn't. Yeah. I think he started very well at Watford, but then made kissy faces to Everton midway through a season, which you probably won't like to hear. But people change and people learn as they get older. And perhaps this Marco Silva is going to be saying, "Oh, okay, well, maybe I had a crack at the Premier League, and you know, maybe I should, you know, enjoy what I've got." And I believe the first season at Everton was very good. So look, in theory, which the Championship has absolutely no respect for whatsoever, in theory, it's a Premier League level manager managing a club that's been in the Premier League twice in the last 3 years with a load of players that have been in a Premier League twice in the last 3 years, a load of players that have been promoted from this division, and five times more broadcast income than 66% of the teams in the Championship. Sure. On paper, easy. But come on, you
nothing's
know.
Easy.
Not in the Championship. No,
absolutely not.
No. So, yeah, we will see. But I do still maintain that, and okay, we have to caveat it with all we've just said about the ownership and the recruitment. Yep. If there's not too much in terms of chaos,
yes,
and you have a competent manager, sure of his pattern of play, that can quite quickly, as you alluded to, and quite quickly, because let's be honest, Championship, You've played 15 games by October, haven't you?
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You can't have 8-9 weeks to get used to everything. So, I'm just looking. Yeah, October the 28th, round 15, I'll be previewing. So, you know, you can't have a 2 month holiday. So, but in theory, if we can go in, organize these players, it's a Do I want the Fulham job, or do I want the Forest job, or do I want the I don't know, the Peterborough job? I'll have the Fulham job, please.
Right. You know, and again, the caveat, and you'll hear this from Fulham supporters. Yes, but you have to work with Tony Khan. That'll be the caveat. but again, on paper, Ben, on paper, and we're going to talk about this because it's the ending of the show. I want to get your thoughts on the Fulham players, because on paper, if they were to keep the club, the team structure fairly intact, you know, again, players could be leaving, but again, if they can keep this team intact, this is a team on paper that has a very good chance of actually winning the league. I look at it now. We're going to go through all the players. I'll get your thoughts on them. But as I really look at it, and again, there are no additions, and you know, and that's a little disconcerting to many. But when you look at it, the club right now, based on the players that they have, they're good enough right now. But will they keep all the players? That's going to be the rub. But coming
and
up,
Russ. Yes. Very quickly, just to interject, really key thing is what Fulham are up against. They're up against a lot of teams that have got no money and just come out of COVID in
That's
terms
right.
of actually They're... being able to. And yes, we can look at QPR as a kind of dark yep. horse, or Neil Warnock or Mick McCarthy or Chris Hughton who have done it before. But this, you know, we're not going to see, unless, I don't know, Blackburn maybe sell Armstrong for a ton of money,
right?
And they can go and sign five players or whatever. That's the other thing you've got to consider, is that
that's right.
Who takes on these 3 year one parachute teams? And let's be very plain. Last year, the year one parachute teams were first, second, and sixth.
Exactly, Ben. And it's funny. And again, I would highly recommend going to Ben's YouTube channel, because I watched his latest transfer window show. And what's interesting, when you look at the players that are moving, again, it's small money, loans, you know,
league one, free transfers. Yeah.
You know, again, that is what we're dealing with. And COVID has a part to do with that. And, you know, you're seeing a reaction to it. So when everyone looks at Fulham and think, well, Fulham might struggle in the championship, again, on paper, you look at the teams that they're going up against, who don't have the money, like you said, Ben, they do have an advantage here. They just have to manage it correctly and find the right team to dare I say, get promoted again, which I want to see. But coming up next, I'm going to get Ben's thoughts on the Fulham players and what level they are at, because, again, Fulham want to get out of the championship, but they also want to stay in the Premier League if they get there.
The world is always on, but you shouldn't be. Put junk sleep to bed. During Mattress Firm's Labor Day sale, get a king for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin, and save up to $700 on Sealy. Talk to a sleep expert and unjunk your sleep today. Mattress Firm.
Progressive Snapshot can save you money based on how you drive and how much you drive. So the safer you drive, the more money you could save. Now, if you didn't hear that because you were looking at your phone while driving, let me say it again.
Seriously, put down your phone. That is so unsafe. If you didn't do stuff like use your phone while driving, you could save money with Progressive Snapshot. But saving or not, just put it down.
And if you did hear it the first time because you weren't looking at your phone, nice work. You'd love Snapshot from Progressive because it rewards safe drivers. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California and North Carolina or from all agents.
Okay, Ben, I'm going to play a little game. We won't spend too much time on each player because, again, I have a good amount of players. I won't give you all the Fulham players. But basically, this is what we're going to do, because for me, I think Fulham can get out of the championship and get back to the Premier League. But they've been this yo-yo club. So how many of these players are championship players, starters in the championship? Are some of these players Premier League squad players? And are some of these other players maybe Premier League players right now, meaning that they could start for a Premier League team? So okay. Because I want to get your gauge, is because I think part of the problem with Fulham, especially two seasons ago, is that they had to rebuild the team. You already talked about this. I think it's very difficult to add the amount of players that you do once you get in the Premier League. You have to have players, Ben. You know, even if you look at Leeds United, which I hate giving credit to, but I have to give credit to.
You have to, though.
Marco Bielsa got a bunch of players. Again, on paper, I think Fulham had a better team, but he got them to play at a certain level, maybe above their level, but it tends, these players turned out to be Premier League players.
Stuart Dallas, Luke Ayling, Ilian Mezier, Jack Harrison, they played every week.
Exactly. Yeah. And they raised their game and they became good enough for the Premier League. Well, I'm just going to ask on talent-wise, are these players, what is their level? So let's start Ben. Let's start with Marek Rodak. Now, you remember him from the championship, and he didn't really get too much of an opportunity in the Premier League. You know, and again, listen, Fulham had a fantastic goalkeeper in Areola, so I think you can understand that. But on the time that you've had a chance to look at Rodak, where do you see his level? Can he be a Premier League goalkeeper?
Possibly not, but good for Rotherham when he was facing loads of shots. He couldn't do the whole pinging it out to the fullback with his feet, though, could he? So it depends what Silva wants to do in terms of distribution from his goalkeeper and how he's going to protect him. But I would suggest there would be 10-plus clubs who would take Rodak in the championship.
Okay, very good. All right, let's move on to a player that actually Fulham made permanent, Kenny Tete. Now, Kenny Tete, I thought, had a decent season. He got injured, and I personally think he is Premier League quality. Ben, what are your thoughts about Kenny Tete? Did you get a chance to watch him at all?
I did, yeah. Lyon, 4 million. Ajax, yeah, he should be a decent caliber. Haven't seen him as much because he didn't play in the championship season, but right. In theory, should settle down nicely if his attitude's right. Although you would suspect, if I'm a Premier League team that wants to pinch a player, maybe on the cheap to throw in my squad, he might be one of them.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. Here's a controversial player because I thought he was fantastic with Fulham in the championship when he came in, but just failed miserably last season. Michael Hector. So what are your thoughts about him?
I will up my ante on that. I reckon 15 to 20 championship teams would take Michael Hector. No, seriously, they would. He's big, powerful. And look, we had a running joke on my channel that you had to drink every time in a watch-along of Fulham. I said either Hector Ream or Ream Hector, because they seemed to spend the entire game passing the ball to each other, didn't they? But,
yes.
No, God, ask a Sheffield Wednesday fan if they would have had Michael Hector, because they had him on. They had him on loan. Was it Reading as well, wasn't he, Chelsea? Yep. Yeah, he's a good championship player.
Good championship player.
You can get promoted with Michael Hector at centre-half for 40 games, yeah.
Okay, the question will be, and can he play the Premier League? This might be his level, so that's why I wanted to bring this up. Now, here's a fan favorite, and I think he's just a championship player. Dennis Odoi.
I actually agree with Scott Parker on this one. If you end the season with Dennis Odoi at right back particularly, you haven't recruited as well as you should. Look, I was there in the cottage when it was Dennis Odoi who scored in the playoffs against Derby, wasn't it? That looping header. I was there. I was also there at the final. He got red carded, didn't he, against...
Weren't you? Oh, I was
you flew over for that one, didn't you?
I was not his biggest fan at that moment.
No, I would have thought that they would be moving on from Dennis Odoi. You know, with all due respect to the player, yeah.
I agree, my friend. Okay, here's one that, again, it's a controversial player for Fulham because he gets injured all the time. Let's talk about Alfie Mawson.
Yeah, and Bristol City fans will tell you he gets injured all the time as well. So Mawson was probably the main fall guy from that game at Blackburn against Blackburn that you referenced. Mawson is a good championship centre-half. Obviously, he was at Brentford back in the day, wasn't he? Barnsley, good deal to Swansea, and then Fulham, lots of money. Bristol City would have finished higher in the table last season if he'd stayed fit. Loads of championship clubs that have Mawson, but Parker didn't fancy him at all. What age is he? 27. He should be peaking now, but the injuries, but you know, whether the fit is right at Fulham or not, I don't know. But again, it's just a reference point. If you offered him on a loan and it stayed within a championship club's wage structure, even if you barred him from playing against Fulham, a lot of teams would take Mawson.
Sure. Do you think he could step up and play in the Premier League if he was injury free? What are your thoughts?
Plead the fifth on that. You saw Anderson for Fulham, who you think is like a level above, don't you? And that's it's centre halves are really good now.
They're absolutely
none of them are slow cloggers anymore. You have to be able to pass. You have 360 vision now. You can't sit in a low block and head it, kick it all day. You know, it's those Premier League centre backs are a different breed than we were used to a few years ago.
Yep. Okay. Now, my fellow Americans won't like my take on this, but we're gonna talk about Tim Ream. I actually wanted Fulham to move on from Tim Ream because I wanted them to move from the former, say, regime, move on from certain players. He's getting up in age. I understand having someone with experience on there, but I also think it's a crutch that you can fall back on Tim Ream. And Tim Ream has shown to me that he's just not a Premier League level player. He is where he is right now in the championship. Could he do a job in the championship? Yes. But I'm actually disappointed that they didn't part ways. You know, and again, I believe Tim Ream has done an excellent job at Fulham. I just think that it was time to move on. What are your thoughts about Tim Ream?
No, I think you've nailed it. I suspect if the lineage had been that you were having the same manager last season as this season, they'd have probably, you know, those kind of deals don't get done when you know the manager's leaving, because you let the new guy come in and have a look. But again, you mentioned a very good point earlier. If you're getting promoted with a 33-year-old Dennis Odoi and Tim Ream, that doesn't bode well.
No, you're like in you trouble. Said.
Well, what do you do? What do you do next season? Because you're just going to bomb them out again. So,
but
you know, if I'm say Houghton at Forest, I reckon I can finish in the top 10 with Tim Ream at centre back.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm not going to disagree with that. Okay. Now, there's been transfer speculation with this player, and I actually truly believe he is a Premier League quality player. I think he's going to just go up as he gets more experience. What are your thoughts on Tosin Adebayo?
Yeah, I like him a lot. Obviously, we've on the channel, we've covered him now at Blackburn.
That's right.
West Brom, it didn't really work out because he kept getting put at fullback. But there's definitely something there with Adebayo, isn't there? Because he's only 23, schooled at Man City. There's a few clubs been linked with him. I think ultimately, he's a Premier League player. Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's a player that, again, it's very interesting because he is a very good crosser of the ball, good going forward. I think he has some deficiencies, as I'll say, defensively. What are your thoughts on Joe Bryan?
He did left back or wing back. He'd get in most championship teams, wouldn't he? You know, if Mick McCarthy's just taken Ryan Giles on loan from Wolves, he'd take Joe Bryan all day at someone like Cardiff. So, he just got bombed out. And I think Anthony Robinson's better is the issue for Joe Bryan.
Okay. And that will lead me to ask you about Anthony Robinson. Because it's funny. I remember him at Wigan. And I just think that this young player has only scratched the surface. Ben, I know fans last season, you know, thought that he regressed as the season went on, and that's true. That is true. He got that red card against Chelsea, and everything went down from that. But I just think he has huge potential if he can work on his crossing. I think Anthony Robinson could be a starter in the Premier League, whether it with Fulham or someone else.
Yeah, I like Robinson a lot. Obviously, I've got a bit of a dog in the fight here because Paul Cook is now the Ipswich manager who had him at Wigan, of course. And we see it quite a lot now where the career path often, and you need to take someone like Harrison Reed and say the same, and Tosin Adrabio, you get schooled at the big club or the high-level Premier League club. You might not get in, but often, you know, it's one transfer down and a couple of clubs and you're back up there. And fullback, 23, I think I just looked up. And he was brilliant in a in a high energy attacking 4-2-3-1 at Wigan. Yeah. Okay, I think they have Reece James on loan on the other side, so pretty decent couple of fullbacks there in championship terms. But no, I like Robinson a lot.
Okay, very good. All right, let's now head to the midfield and let's talk about Tom Kearney. And it's funny because I remember, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, there was a comparison between Madison and Kearney. Who's better? Well, I think we know who won that battle. But I think part of it has to do with Kearney's injuries. And overall, I mean, is he a Premier League quality player? The jury might still be out on Kearney. I know where he is in this level. He's extremely effective, Ben. Do you think Kearney is a start in the Premier League? I'm curious your view on this. He's now starting to get up in age.
Can I answer a different question? Because my number for the amount of championship clubs that would take Tom Kearney is 24.
Oh, of course.
Because they would, and I'm sure Mr. Jokanović will be trying to do some kind of deal if he can.
I'm sure. Yeah. Exactly.
Now he has dominated the championship. Is he? I don't know. Is he mobile enough?
I don't know. I think that's the problem
for the Premier League.
I think that's the issue.
Yeah, it's just never worked, and he's now 30. But could he become a Ollie Norwood type figure, where teams that want to get promoted sign him and get promoted, basically? But yeah, I mean, you'll know better than me what happened last season.
Yeah.
And again, if you told me the starting 11, what would end the season for Fulham was what it was, I would have been what? But Tom Kearney at championship level will carve up the league and has done now the last three times he's been in the league. And I have watched my team play against Tom Kearney and get absolutely nowhere near him on several occasions.
I remember, Ben. I remember. All right. Here's another player that, again, there is some Premier League interest and there should be, but I have a feeling he might stay with Fulham. What are your thoughts on Harrison Reed? He grew into the role at Fulham 2 seasons ago where he really got the opportunity. And I actually remember him going back to that Blackburn match. That's the first time I really got a look at Harrison Reed, I believe. And then last season, he really, I thought, stepped up and showed me that he is a Premier League player. What are your thoughts of Reed?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Top championship player now and could probably do a job somewhere 20-12 in the... Yeah. In the Premier League. And again, the same journey we talked about at Rabio, Robinson, et cetera, you know, come down. Good player. And also, he won over Parker, which you're telling me was quite hard to do. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Just to speed things up a little bit, we're not going to mention all the players. Here's one, again, you actually mentioned on your show because I think you expect him to leave. Again, he's been in training.
Oh, that's so a Premier League player, that is.
He's a Premier League player. The question is, what will Fulham do with and Giza?
They won't be able to afford to keep him, surely. He'll be loaned out to Turkey or sold to the Premier League. I dread to think what wage he's on. But his ball-carrying numbers were supremely good, even in a not very good Fulham team. If he plays in the Championship, it'll be a joke.
Oh, I know.
It'll be like not quite the same extent as Buendia last season, but he'll be way, way too good for the league. And he needs to have a word with his agent because it's like, what am I doing here? I need to be, unless, you know, obviously no one could come in for him, but
Okay.
Now he's very good. Yeah.
Now here's a player you might not be familiar with, but part of the problem I think Fulham are having is that they're not really leading enough on their academy. Here's a player I think has a lot of promise. I hope you see him a lot this year, Ben. Fabio Carvalho. Well, now, you saw him a little bit.
Yeah, but it's very funny. You should ask about Fabio Carvalho, Russ, because I may well have recorded my 10 youngsters to watch in the Championship this season video this morning, which hasn't actually yet gone up. And I've probably just given away one of the players who's going to be... Now, I would be looking for 20 to 30 games from Carvalho. The comparison I would make is Michael Elise, not in terms of the type of player we had at Reading. And unfortunately, John Swift got injured and he ended up playing virtually 40 games. But yeah, get him in. He'll be a decent... You've got to create stars, haven't you? And he could be one of them. He's going to have a lot of minutes, I think.
Absolutely. Okay. Just to finish
up. And look out for that video that I'll put up later today.
please watch Ben's video where he will be actually highlighting Fabio Carvalho.
Maybe.
Definitely. Okay. Quickly on these two players. I'll give you both of them at the same time. Anthony Knockaert and Ivan Cavallaro. Now, again, Fulham fans did not want to see Ivan Cavallaro play as much as he did in the Premier League. And it's funny because I go back a couple seasons ago where we had a gentleman on who is a fan of Wolves. He warned us about Cavallaro. They loved him, but they were concerned that he might not be the player that we were thinking we were going to get. He turned out to be less than what Fulham thought they were going to get. So what are your thoughts about Cavallaro and Knockaert? Because I think they have shown me that they're good championship players. Maybe that's their level.
I think you've undersold Knockaert because okay. I think for Brighton, I think he was the best player in the league. Okay, that was 2016-17. Yeah. But that was, and again, it's given the players the tools to succeed. And Parker played this slow build-up. And what you can say about Nuno at Wolves and Houghton at Brighton with both of these players was that they kept a solid defence, but they gave support quickly, dynamically, got the ball to these guys. And Parker's football didn't... Parker wanted Knockaert to be Grealish or something, didn't
he? Right. So do you think that potentially Knockaert and Knockaert and Cavallaro might play to their strengths under Silva. We might see different players with them.
Again, I would defer to your superior knowledge on how Silva will actually play. But what I will say is the slow, methodical build-up did not work for Knockaert. And also, it was a big deal for both of them. And they can't. That wouldn't look good on Mr. Khan if he was loaned out to a rival. You know, in the same division. So, Knockaert was so good for Brighton, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Two final players to end the show. Let's go to Bobby Decadova-Reed. Interesting player because I want to say it's split on him because I see his value. I might see him as a squad player in the Premier League. I don't see him as a starter in the Premier League. What are your thoughts of Bobby Decadova-Reed? I think he'll do an excellent job back in the Championship.
I think he's really good. Yeah, and I think what Fulham did do well at short points for last season often revolved around him and him being a wing back and a winger in the same game. Certainly, if he was in a lot of Championship teams in a 4-2-3-1, so he's not the main guy, or maybe wide in a 4-3-3.
Yeah,
you get in most Championship teams. And he'll be one of these players. And can I do a clanging name drop? I spoke to Kieran Dyer about versatility actually being a curse. And Bobby Reed is one of these players where it's actually does him no good. The fact that, because you know what's going to happen if Fulham are leading 1-0 in a game. Oh, Bobby, just cover deep. Go and play wing back for me or whatever. And, other players don't get asked to do that. And, it's sort of Wayne Rooney syndrome. Their youthfulness actually stops them, maybe achieving even more than they could.
That's actually a great point. It's like a jack of all trades and a master of none, because he's...
And that's the worst case scenario, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I that's actually a great point, Ben. All right. We're going to end with Mitro. Will Mitro be at Fulham when the season starts, when the transfer window closes? I actually hope so. Only time will tell. Mitro, we know, is a Premier League player. What are your thoughts of Mitro? Do you think he'll end up staying at Fulham, or do you think he's going to move on? Just your gut feeling on this.
I think he'll be there. The only thing that would stop him being there is if there's something we don't know about finances and, there's problems with money. But again, I will reiterate, your billionaire owners shouldn't have, obviously there's the FFP and they've got to make it add up, but they've got parachute payments. The thing I've always said about Mitro is he's a white elephant. He's way too expensive for any Championship club to take him. And he's kind of unproven in terms of some Premier League clubs, isn't he? So you'd be looking for 30 to 40 million to sign him. Right. And Leeds going to sign him? No. Spurs might sign him, with Nuno there. But no, and we've already mentioned, he's an absolute cheat code in the Championship. If he plays 40 games and doesn't score 25 goals, he's just an absolute bully. The defenders can't stop him, basically. And but he's in that Darren Huckabee. I'm trying to think of other players who would Dwight Gayle, Glenn Murray just beat up in the Championship, but not really get a chance. But I've just seen him destroy too many Championship defenses to doubt him.
Okay, well, I certainly hope he stays, and I think he could really do a job, as you said. 25 goals is, I hate to say it, a minimum, Ben. 25 goals.
You would think something's gone wrong if he doesn't.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I could very, very quickly pad and bring up these numbers. I'll try and do it as quickly as I can,
sure.
Russ.
Sure.
My bad. So last time, 40 starts, 26 goals, a goal every 138 minutes.
Wow.
So every three games, he's going to score two goals, basically. And then if you go back to 17-18, when I believe he was on loan, 17 starts, 12 goals, a goal every 115 minutes, even better. So he's basically, in Championship terms, played 57 games and scored 38 goals.
Okay, excellent stuff. So
complete destruction.
So it's in Fulham's best interest to find a way to keep Mitro, and it could catapult them back.
But, and in every other Championship club's interest to get him out of the division as quickly.
Exactly. Good point, Ben. Good point. All right. Now, we just went through all the players. We had a good discussion about the structure of Fulham. We talked about the managers. We're going to end with your prediction for Fulham. I know it's very early on, but based on our conversation, like I said, you do think that potentially Anguissa could go, maybe a couple of other players. But if you look at this club, they're good enough to actually win the division. What is your prediction for Fulham?
Look, I'll keep my powder dry a little bit, Russ. I'll do a full 1-24.
Okay.
Obviously, a year one parachute team who, as it stands, haven't sold anybody yet, are going to be very high in my predictions.
Sure.
Aren't they? And I suspect, the two I mentioned were Anguissa, I think, will be sold. Maybe someone like Lamarchand, although Ligon's collapsed, maybe they could, try and raise a bit of money there. But, and I don't know, let's just assume that Marco Silva plays a 4-2-3-1. So Rodak, Christie's been promoted before.
Yep.
Hector and Ad Rabiot, centre halves. Robinson or Brian at left back. Maybe he'll sell the one that he's not going to play. Harrison, Reed, central midfield. Josh Onoma and Tom Penny. There's a midfield three. And if he wants, Mitrovic, Cavaliero and Knockhart up top with a decent pattern of play and no chaos at the club. Obviously, Sheffield United could have Brewster and McBurney up front and Bogle and Norwood, and West Brom could have Pereira and Mowat and Carl and Grant. There's normally one relegated team that fails miserably. But
I hope it's not Fulham. Okay.
That didn't happen last season. And again, Bournemouth would not have finished, dare I say, as low as sixth if they hadn't sold Ramsdale, Ake and Wilson. Yeah. If Bournemouth had Callum Wilson in the Championship last year, he'd have scored more goals or similar amount than we would expect from Mitrovic. So look, if they mitigate chaos and the recruitment isn't silly and there's not eight out and eight in, it's almost the ins that are more important than the outs. They just don't need to sign 20 players.
No, they don't. They absolutely do not, Ben.
As you pointed out, they need to either build stars or sign a player that will play in the Premier League if they do get promoted.
That's right.
That should be the market. But it's a bit of a broken market where there's not a lot of money flying around at the moment. And maybe if you do get 20 million quid for Anguissa, that goes in the bank rather than get spent, doesn't it?
Right, right. And that's the situation with me. And listen, I understand all the talk about it. And Geese is too good for this level. And I agree that, you know, and again, more than likely that someone will come in for him and they'll sell him. But I would try not to, because I, like you said, Ben, is the money worth it at this point? Are you going to reinvest the money? I don't know at this point, the way the market is and, you know, the way the transfers are going to be. So,
Russ, I had a real light bulb moment. I was speaking to a Norwich journalist last year.
Okay.
And we were talking about Buendia. And we talked about Buendia's value versus Buendia's value to Norwich.
And see, that's my point. Yeah.
There's a very sensible argument to say that a player that pretty much Mitrovic or Buendia, Abraham at Aston Villa, player that pretty much guarantees you're going to finish in the playoffs,
it's more valuable to keep.
It's worth £100 million because of the TV money you're going to earn on the back end. Whereas Anguissa's value to Lyon or PSG or whoever, PSG aren't going to sign him, I know, is £20 million. So we're arguing that his value is five times more to Fulham than it is to the club who's going to sign him.
Right, right. That's my point, Ben. Is it more valuable to keep the player to help you get promoted and potentially build in the Premier League or get the money? And that's something that has to be weighed, especially in the market this season. Listen, we do have to wrap this up. Before we go, I do want to mention Ben has already teased a little bit his upcoming video, which will highlight Fabio Carvalho. I'm just kidding, Ben. but he'll be mentioned in the upcoming video, so check out Ben's video. Ben, tell everyone one last time how they can see your YouTube channel.
Yeah, I think I've still got my notes here. There we go. There's the spoiler for the 10 players on the list. No, it's the Benjamin Bloom football channel. All things championship. There's going to be a preview show every week, a review show.
Yep.
We'll do watch-alongs. I do have some lovely news that means I might be away for a while, that I will, all being well, become a father on the day the season starts. The baby is due. So I may be away for a couple of weeks, but throughout the season, we will be here and we'll be talking a lot of Fulham. And let's be honest, we're expecting Fulham to probably score at least 70 plus points, aren't we? So, so check that out. Hit subscribe. And I can't give you what Russ and the other Fulham podcasts give you. What I can give you that is sometimes even more valuable than what Russ can give you is I can give you the perception from the outside of your club with a balanced view. And I will never care as much or know as much about Fulham as a Fulham fan would. But I can often be more balanced than someone who's outside the bubble can be, because I don't have those emotions. And a lot of people tell me that's why they like the channel. And they'll watch their Fulham podcast or whatever, and they'll get all the emotion and the implicit bias, which is fine, and we love it. But my saying is, please leave your bias at the door. And we try and do that on the channel. So we'll try and call it down the middle and give you the outside. And thank you to all the people in the chat who are saying congratulations. The one useful thing I did in lockdown.
We're getting a lot of these, Ben.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, very, very, very kind, guys. So, some things apparently are more important than football. No,
Ben.
I've been told.
Ben, I have actually, as we record this, my daughter is flying back from Italy. She was on tour. I could tell you about that off air. And she's actually coming home. I got a son that's 13 years old. So enjoy fatherhood. I can't wait for you. You will love being a father. So that obviously
takes Ipswich Town brainwashing immediately begin. Yes.
I did that with my son. So let's just, yes, that will begin. Anyways, we do have to wrap up this show. So for my very special guest, Benjamin Bloom, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. at participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.